Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our service of remembrance this morning. Any visitors or new people that are with us, you're more than welcome. And we do have tea and coffee after the service as another form of meeting together. We'd like to say good morning to Teresa and welcome for taking our service. If we'd like to have a couple of minutes of silence before we begin.
Good morning.
Our call to worship. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Our opening hymn is number 255, if you're using the book. The kingdom of God is justice and joy. 255. On this Remembrance Sunday, we praise you for every memory we have of your goodness and love towards us, for everything that reminds us of your creative power, your sovereign will, and your eternal glory. We praise you for the cross of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and for the way it reminds us of his sacrifice for the sin of the world. Its self-centeredness, self-sufficiency, and self-satisfaction. We praise you for the scriptures, which record the story of your dealings with your people down the centuries, and for the record of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. We praise you that even in the midst of our broken and sinful world, the light of the love of Christ still shines and is the source and centre of all our hope. We praise you that even when our lives and our lifestyles made us your enemies, you took the initiative and broke down the barrier which our sinful lives had built between us. We praise you that there is absolutely nothing that we can say or do that will make you stop loving us or stop you wanting us to know you and to have life in all its fullness. We praise you for the power of the Holy Spirit who softens hard hearts, opens closed minds, and brings peace, hope, joy, and reconciliation where none seemed possible. Help us, we pray, to go on remembering you and your loving presence so that every day may be lived for your praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our prayer of confession. Lord, we confess that we remember with shame the things we have said and done and thought that have hurt you, each other, and ourselves. We remember with shame that we have praised you with our lips and denied you with our lives. We have used our voices to offer you thanks and worship, and also to spoil our lives, our relationships, and our witness. We remember with sadness the pain we have caused our friends and our families, and the foolishness with which we have filled our days. We remember the anger and the bitterness that have clouded our thoughts, and the grudges and envy and jealousy that we have harboured within. We confess that we have often failed to remember to love you with our whole being and our neighbour as ourselves. In the silence of our own hearts, we remember those things which are spoiling our lives, things we would rather no one else knew anything about. Father, forgive us and forget the sin that we have remembered before you, and make us new and clean again, for Christ's sake. Amen. Let's share together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Poppies. Why are most of us wearing poppies today? The children tell me why we're wearing poppies today. In room? Somebody say in remembrance. Yeah, we're doing it in remembrance, aren't we, Wesley? It's remembrance. Do we know why poppies? Why do we use, why are poppies that symbol that we use?
Because they grew on the battlefields after the war.
That's right, yes, they did. It's the first thing that grew on the battlefields after the war. Even before they'd all been cleared, those battlefields were covered in red poppies. It's a wonderful thing to think, isn't it, that all that blood was shed and those poppies grew. Nothing else, just those poppies. We've got another slide for me. That's the fact the battlefields, all those poppies growing. Now, that is my granddaddy's dad. He's my dad's dad. And he wasn't very tall, you can't see because he's sitting down there. He was only 4'11", so he was quite tiny. I expect some of you kids are actually taller than he was when he was an adult. Can we go into the next one? That's my granddad Brooks. He's my mum's dad. He, bless him, was only 4'11" as well. So they were both quite tiny, but they both fought in the First World War. Next one. They both served in the Royal Artillery, and they cared for the horses. It's because both of them actually looked after horses before they even went into the army. So they cared for horses, and they had to see quite a lot of those horses die, unfortunately, because that was the thing with battle. The horses died and the animals died as well as the people. But luckily they both came back. My granddad died in his early 60s because he was gassed during the war. He managed to survive the gassing, but it killed him later in life. Go on to the next one. I don't know if you can see how that picture is made up. All those soldiers there. They're standing in remembrance of all the horses who died during the First World War. And that's only part of the actual sculpture, living sculpture. I believe they did the whole horse. So that must have been quite something to see, and quite a lot of men standing there. Eight million, you never believe this, would you? 8 million horses, donkeys and mules died in World War I. And they were used to transport supplies and ammunition to the front. Also, 1 million dogs and carrier pigeons died. So a lot of animals were lost during the war, during that war.
Did they use the dogs for cooking? Back in the First World War, or possibly even the Second World War, they used pigeons to carry messengers.
They used to carry messages.
I mean, they used pigeons to carry messages, didn't they?
Yes, they did. They did, Wesley. They used the carrier pigeons to carry messages to and from.
But I still don't know what they really used.
They used the dogs for. I must admit, I don't know what they used the dogs for. I imagine it might have been for the same sort of thing, to possibly carry messages. Does anybody know why they used the dogs? No, I should have looked that one up, shouldn't I? Really, but yeah, they did. They did use the dogs for.
Oh, perhaps they were sniffer dogs.
Don't know if they had sniffer dogs then, Wes. I don't think they had sniffer
dogs. Then what
did
they train the dogs for?
I'll tell you what I'll do for you, Wes, though. I will go home and I will find out what they did with the dogs, and I'll let you know next time I see you. Is that all right? And the last slide, please. Purple poppies. The purple popped poppies are to remember the animals who are the victims of war. So all those dogs and horses and the birds, the carrier pigeons. So I think a lot of people are beginning to wear purple poppies as well as their red poppies now. And I'm sorry, I don't know what the dogs do. Don't know what the dogs did, Wes. That was very remiss of me not to look that one up. Naughty. Right, we're going to sing again. It's number 693, Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair.
Thank you.
the steward will now wait on us for our offerings for the work of God in this church and circuit. Heavenly Father, we bring you our gifts of money, but we also bring you the gift of ourselves. Take us out into this world, Lord, to do your work, to share your love, and to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Reading is taken from St John, the Gospel according to St John, chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue. Our next hymn is number 707, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. 707.
Thank you.
Yes, please, Richard. I think we've got time.
Reading from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen.
Thank you, Richard. If you're able to, can we please stand for silence? Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We meet in the presence of God. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may, together, live in freedom, justice, and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting and terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in world wars and conflicts past and present have been given and taken away. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them.
Thank you.
Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When you go home, tell them of us and say, "For your tomorrow, we gave our today." Please be seated. On the 7th of July 1939, my dad turned 16. He had already been working for 2 years. Those were the days when you left school at 14 and you went off to work. He was working at Dunn's Bakeries in Taunton at the time and was a fresh-faced and quite a handsome young man. As a lot of the young men did, and the old men too, he joined the Home Guard, and when he wasn't at work, spent his time doing what the Home Guard did in those days. And listening to some stories, it was spending quite a lot of time drinking tea at a little house just the other side of the railway line where the road now goes over. There used to be a house there, and they used to drink tea there quite a lot, apparently. Dad was eventually called up, and he went into the Army Catering Corps. I suppose being a baker, it was an ideal place to put him. Although being in a reserved occupation, he could have legitimately stayed at home and not gone to fight for his country at all. But he made his choice to go. Dad would always tell us stories about his time in the services, but they were always funny stories about the mischief that he and his mates got up to when they were off duty in North Africa. Or of the officer who made them camp in a dry riverbed in Italy, even though the sergeant advised against it, and how the whole camp got washed away when the water from a storm far up in the mountains finally found its way down to where they were camped, and the riverbed was no longer dry. Oh gosh, did that officer have a red face? Very rarely did he tell us much about his experiences of being involved in conflict, apart from the fact that he took up position between the cookers on one occasion when he was part of the peacekeeping force in Palestine, and they were being shot at from one side by the Jews and from the other by the Arabs. He didn't particularly like playing piggy in the middle in those circumstances. My dad was very ill over Christmas 2007 and New Year 2008, and he spent 7 weeks in Musgrave. On two occasions we were called in, as it was thought that he would not survive, but somehow he found the resources to fight back and to recover. Not fully, but enough to come home and carry on for a while longer. It was during that time, whilst he was in hospital, that I visited him on my own a few times, and he talked a little more about his experiences. I now understand why Mum and I were so special to him, because when he left Taunton on the day he was called up, he never expected to live through the war. He never expected to have a family. He went to war thinking that he would die, but also hoping that if he did lose his life, it would have been worth it, because Hitler would have been overcome and those who survived would have freedom. When I asked him if he was afraid, he said no, he was never really afraid. If he was going to die, then it would happen. But he was frightened at times, and he really didn't like it when the German Stukas flew over the camp and bombed it, because they always aimed at the cookhouse, and he was sure that they were after him personally. Like thousands of other men who have gone to war for this country in various conflicts over the last century or more, my dad was willing to give his life for those he loved. Sadly, he passed away in May 2009, just before my birthday. I suppose that is one of the reasons why this passage from John's Gospel is so often used on Remembrance Sunday, and particularly for those words of verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. But keeping this verse in context with the rest of the passage, we can see that Jesus is intimating that at some point he will have to give his life for those he loves and who he calls his friends. Not only him, but the disciples too. But there is something deeper in this passage than the love of one man for another and the laying down of one's life for those we love. Although today is Remembrance Sunday and we have stood for the 2 minute silence to respect those who died in the two wars of the last century and the many conflicts since 1946, this passage isn't just about love and death. It is also about us being the chosen people of God. We generally think that when we make the decision to be a Christian and to follow Christ, to be a child of God, it was our decision and ours alone. But it's not. The wonderful thing about this passage is that it tells us that we have not chosen God, but he has chosen us. From the very beginning of our lives, God chose us to be his people, to follow him and to love him and to give our lives to him. He has called us. When we make the decision to be a Christian, all we are doing is reaffirming what God has already begun and accepting the fact that God's Son, Jesus, died on the cross for the redemption of our sins. But we are a chosen people, and this passage tells us that we are chosen for joy and for love, and we are called to be the friends of Jesus. Joy, delight, happiness, ecstasy, elation. Christians are meant to be an extremely happy people, but over the centuries, Christians have often wandered around garbed in black with a frown on their faces and looking extremely unhappy. I can remember a time when you went to church, you stood for the hymns, you sat for the sermon, you knelt for the prayers, and you went straight home afterwards because it was Sunday, and that's where you were supposed to be on a Sunday, at home after church. If you were a youngster, you were glared at by the older people. The vicar or minister frightened you to death with his talk, and to be honest, it was a wonder that we kept on going back. Actually, we probably kept on going back because we weren't sure what would happen to us if we didn't. You certainly didn't laugh in church, or dance, or sing songs that made sense to the young. Christians went around with long faces and were rarely seen to smile, let alone laugh. But this passage tells us that we are chosen for joy. Our church services should be joyful affairs, where if they want to, our youngsters can sing modern praise songs to modern music played on modern instruments. If the mood takes us, we can dance, and where we should certainly at least smile, if not laugh out loud. No matter how hard our journey through life may be, or the trials that we may face, Christians are men and women of joy. Yes, we are sinners, but we are redeemed sinners, and we know that we have received God's grace. It is that knowledge that gives us joy as we live our lives following Jesus. In his letter to the Romans, Paul recognises that it isn't easy to be a Christian. It wasn't then, and it isn't now. But Paul tells us that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We are also chosen for love, and are sent out into the world to love one another and to live in such a way that our love is shown to our neighbours and our friends. But unfortunately, in this world in which we live, we are often in dispute with one another, And our cry can be, how on earth can I love him? Look at what he does, what he says. But Jesus' response is, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's what I did. Jesus isn't asking us to do the impossible by loving one another. He has already done that himself. And he paid the price for that love when he died upon the cross. I don't think that we can like everyone we come across throughout our lives. But there is no reason why we cannot love them. Because, repeating again Paul's words to the Romans, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. With the help of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of the love that God has for each of us, we can love anyone, even those that we may find it difficult to love in our own strength. And I truly believe that we need to remember this as we live through this time of Brexit. We all need to remember that as leavers or remainers, we all have a right to our thoughts and our opinions. None of us is right and none of us is wrong. Leaving the EU won't stop refugees still seeking asylum here. Leaving the EU won't mean that we no longer need people to work here from other European countries and even across the world. When I was at Musgrove last week, I was cared for by a nurse from Zimbabwe and another from Romania. We need their expertise and we need their friendship. Thirdly, we are called to be Jesus' friends. He tells the disciples that they are no longer slaves, but his friends. This passage had a far greater meaning to the disciples when they heard it than it does for us now. Doulos, the slave, the servant of God, was the title of the highest honour. Moses was the doulos of God, as were Joshua and David. Paul counted it an honour to use the title in Titus 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. The greatest men in the past have been proud to be called servants of God. But Jesus says, I have something greater for you yet. You are no longer slaves. You are friends. Jesus offers us a closer relationship with God, an intimacy which no one knew until Jesus came into the world. We can get close to God. We do not have to stand far off and gaze at God longingly. We can come into his presence, sit at his feet, have him as our closest friend. As a part of an assignment for a doctoral thesis, a college student spent a year with a group of Navajo Indians on a reservation in the southwest of the USA. As he did his research, he lived with one family, sleeping in their hut, eating their food, working with them, and generally living the life of a 20th century Navajo. The old grandmother of the family spoke no English at all, yet a very close friendship formed between the two. They spent a great deal of time sharing a friendship that was meaningful to each, yet unexplainable to anyone else. In spite of the language difference, they shared the common language of love and understood each other. Over the months, he learned a few phrases of Navajo and she picked up a little of the English language. When it was time for him to return to the campus and write his thesis, the tribe held a going away celebration. It was marked by sadness since the young man had become close to the whole village and all would miss him. As he prepared to get up into the pickup truck and leave, the old grandmother came to tell him goodbye. With tears streaming from her eyes, she placed her hands on either side of his face, looked directly into his eyes and said, I like me best when I am with you. Isn't that the way we feel in the presence of Jesus? He brings out the best in us. We learn to see ourselves as worthy and valuable when we are in his presence. The hurts, the cares, the disappointments of our lives are behind us when we look in his eyes and realise the depth of his love. Our self-esteem no longer depends on what we have done or failed to do. It depends only on the value that he places on us. To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ is to generate in other people the Indian grandmother's simple statement, "I like me best when I am with you." As we leave here today, let's go out with joy in our hearts, the love of God shining from us, and the knowledge that we are a chosen people, selected by God, special in his sight, and greatly loved by him, willing to share that love with those around us, no matter their faith, creed, colour, or nationality, accepting everyone as God's beloved children. Amen. We're now going to sing hymn number 132, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," 132.
Thank you.
prayers of intercession for Remembrance Sunday. Let us pray. Father, we pray for those people all over the world who today remember, and their remembering is filled with a great sense of loss. For people of every nation who have lost home and family and friends in hostilities. For those whose lives have been wrecked by war and by terrorist attack. We pray for those who remember their loss of faith that has left a hole in their lives that nothing else can fill. May they remember the love of Christ which can make them whole. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who remember the bitterness and anger that crushes their lives, taints their deeds, and colours their every word. For those whose sense of resentment has split families and communities, churches and nations. For those who remember conflicts that have damaged their relationships. And for those whose health has been affected by the grudges they bear and the hatred they harbour still. May the gentle Spirit of Christ hold and heal them completely. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who remember with sadness those they have loved and who are with them no more. For those whose sadness is tinged with regret and for those for whom it is filled with feelings of rejection. For those who feel a great emptiness within, and for those who remember the happy times they once shared. For those who remember with tears and with pain, and for those who have no one with whom to share their hurts and their aches. For those who are still hurting, though time has gone by. And for those who are hurting because others no longer remember. May the love of Christ share their tears. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who remember with deep concern the decisions they must make, for those who carry a heavy burden of responsibility for others, and those who are weighed down by the pressure it brings. We pray for doctors and nurses, and all with responsibility for the health and the safety of others, for magistrates, judges, and probation officers, and all who are helping others to face up to what they have done. For those in positions of leadership in government, the community, or the church. For those with the responsibility of caring for the hungry and the starving, and the ones with no hope and no home. May the presence of Christ give them courage and wisdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for those who remember to work for peace. On this Remembrance Sunday, we pray urgently for the peace of the world, for those who are genuinely working for peace, and for those seeking ways to build bridges of hope, but also for those who resist all attempts to end conflicts, and for those who reject all efforts at reconciliation. Those who are blinded by fear and by prejudice. On this Remembrance Sunday, we pray that the Holy Spirit may work in all our hearts and minds and wills and give us a new longing to live at peace with each other and with you. May the love of Christ fill us with a desire for peace, whatever the cost. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we pray for any we know for whom today is a day of special remembering, for those who will be remembering those who fought with them and who never returned, for those who return with their minds damaged by what they had witnessed, their bodies broken by what they had suffered, and their lives wrecked by what they had been through. May the love of Christ hold them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for Ken Phillips and his family following his death this week. We pray for ourselves and all our remembrance of our missed opportunities, and the promises we have broken and our failure to love, those memories which are still too painful and the experiences we wished we could forget. We rejoice in the memory of the love we have received, the care and support, and the new beginnings of hope, joy, and forgiveness. May the love of Christ enable us to offer these gifts even to those who least deserve them. We ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. Our final hymn is number 81. Now thank we all our God. 81. Remembering that it belongs to God. Go out into life, remembering it is His gift to you and to each of us. Go out into service, remembering that all you do in His name is never wasted. Go out in His name, in His presence, and for His glory. Go out in the power of the Spirit. Amen.